Tonight, protests erupt across the country after the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Emotions boiling over on the streets. In Iowa, a truck driving into a crowd of protesters. In Arizona, demonstrators banging on doors at the state capitol. Police firing tear gas to disperse them. Cheers from anti-abortion rights advocates, some celebrating the decision they've been working toward for decades. The Republican senator who cast crucial confirmation votes for two of the justices now insisting they misled her about their true intent. Abortion now illegal in 8 states, 18 more states now moving to ban or restrict abortions. With abortion rights supporters vowing to press on, what's next after Roe? Western governors banding together to keep abortions available, plans for mobile clinics and a grassroots effort to help women get abortion drugs, plus growing questions about what the Supreme Court could do about things like same-sex marriage and access to contraceptives. Also tonight, President Biden signing the first significant gun safety law in nearly 30 years. What's in the bill and what's not? Why the president says it will save lives as the last of the victims of the Uvalde school massacre is laid to rest. The deadly attack in Norway. Why officials are raising the terror alert after a gunman opens fire just ahead of Pride celebrations. Murder confession revealed. In a case that gripped the nation, Brian Laundrie's chilling 8-page letter claiming he ended the life of his girlfriend, Gabby Petito. Why he called it a mercy killing. Powerful rockets from the U.S. arrive in Ukraine with their longer range. Will they make a difference as Ukrainian troops lose ground to Russian forces? Plus, President Biden arrives in Europe for high-stakes meetings with G7 leaders on Ukraine and amid fears of growing inflation. And America strong as the country marks Pride Month, a special dedication where the movement all began more than 50 years ago.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us on this Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson. As we come on the air tonight, protests erupting nationwide. Reaction from both sides to the Supreme Court's landmark ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. Demonstrators gathering at the Supreme Court, those in favor of abortion rights, at times facing off against many celebrating the justice's decision. Those protests spanning the entire country today, most of them peaceful, as 8 states already moved to make abortion illegal. Overnight, officers firing tear gas to break up a large crowd outside the Arizona state capitol. And in Iowa, police launching an investigation after a truck hit protesters at an abortion rights rally in Cedar Rapids, one person taken to the hospital. Many now looking to the court after the conservative justices ended constitutional protections for abortion. And Justice Clarence Thomas, in his concurring opinion, suggested the court might now rethink precedents set by other landmark rulings on gay marriage and contraception. Those words helping to fuel some of those taking to the streets today. We have team coverage tonight, and ABC's congressional correspondent Rachel Scott leads us off from the Supreme Court.
Tonight, the Supreme Court's decision sending shockwaves across the nation. From coast to coast, thousands protesting the end of the constitutional right to an abortion. In Los Angeles, demonstrators flooding the freeway. Overnight, a truck driver plowing through a crowd in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Police now investigating. In Arizona, at the state capitol, officers firing tear gas at protesters. And police in Providence, Rhode Island, now investigating an off-duty officer after this violent altercation at an abortion rights rally. But outside the Supreme Court, cheers and relief for those against abortion rights.
I honestly cried tears of joy. It's been something that we have been waiting for so long, and now finally for the lives of so many of the unborn to finally be protected and recognize that we do have the right to life. It was really moving for me.
President Biden warned of the dire consequences, insisting the ruling puts reproductive health at risk.
Do you think the Supreme Court is broken in your view?
I think the Supreme Court has made some terrible decisions.
The landmark decision backed by the conservative majority, stripping away the right to an abortion after nearly 50 years. Justice Samuel Alito writing, Roe was egregiously wrong and deeply damaging. Roe was on a collision course with the Constitution from the day it was decided. And joining Alito were Justices Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, three of them Trump appointees. Republican Senator Susan Collins was critical to putting Kavanaugh and Gorsuch on the bench, saying this about Kavanaugh at the time.
He noted that Roe had been reaffirmed 19 years later by Planned Parenthood versus Casey, and that it was precedent on precedent. He said it should be extremely rare that it be overturned.
Now, she says she was misled. In notes obtained by the New York Times, Kavanaugh apparently gave Collins private assurances, claiming he understood the real-world consequences and stating, "I'm a don't-rock-the-boat kind of judge." But with Roe overturned, the impact was felt within minutes. Abortion now illegal for 31 million Americans in at least 8 states, including Louisiana, where reproductive rights advocates say they are worried.
People will have to carry a child to term when they're already living in substandard housing, when their children are not getting the best education, when they can barely feed their families.
Emotions raw on both sides. Rachel Scott joining us now from the Supreme Court. And Rachel, recent polling seems to indicate this ruling overturning Roe v. Wade is at odds with where a majority of Americans stand. So how do supporters of abortion rights plan to carry on this fight in the future?
Well, what I can tell you that many of the people gathered here today, along with Democrats, hope that this turns into a driving issue ahead of the midterm elections in November. On Capitol Hill, there is a push to try to protect access to abortion under federal law, but Republicans are largely opposed to that. So for now, this battle will be left up to the states, Whit.
All right, Rachel, thank you. And with this landmark Supreme Court decision, many are now asking what's next after Roe. While more states are moving to make abortions illegal, others are working to increase access. Plus, growing questions about how the Supreme Court could take on other matters like birth control and same-sex marriage. Here's ABC's Zareen Shaw.
We are the post-Roe generation!
Tonight, the immediate impact of that game-changing Supreme Court decision being felt nationwide. And tense standoffs. Eight states tonight have bans in force, with 18 more likely to ban or severely restrict abortion in the coming days or weeks, including Oklahoma.
That makes this Supreme Court decision the most life-saving decision in the history of our nation.
In Sioux Falls, South Dakota, this Planned Parenthood sending patients to neighboring states.
The outrage of this, we will stand for every single person to the fullest extent of the law, to make sure that that never happens in Minnesota.
That response from Minnesota's governor coming in the form of an executive order protecting people seeking abortions there from legal repercussions in their own state. Some women looking to telemedicine and virtual mailboxes. The online abortion site Plan C tells women how to find the abortion pill.
And we want to make all forms of abortion as easily accessible to people as we can.
And tonight, experts weighing in after Justice Clarence Thomas argued in his concurring opinion the Supreme Court should reconsider other rulings codifying rights to contraception access and same-sex marriage.
There's a very good chance that probably not in the next year or two, but within a few years, issues like contraception or same-sex marriage could actually be subject to revisiting.
People out here know the abortion decision has been made, but they tell us they are concerned for what could come next.
These issues really affect the next generation, and if I come out here and speak up, then I can show my support for change.
Clarence Thomas saying that, you know, basically queer rights are next. That's why we all have to show up.
California, Oregon, and Washington are joining forces to protect abortion rights. And here in California, the governor just signed a law to protect patients and providers from civil liability. Whit.
Zareen Shaw, thank you. And be sure to tune into a special edition of This Week tomorrow morning. Martha Raddatz will go one-on-one with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem and Senator Elizabeth Warren on the future of reproductive rights in America. Next here tonight, historic gun safety legislation is now law. President Biden signing the bipartisan bill today at the White House before leaving for Europe. The measure doesn't go as far as the president had hoped, but he's hailing it as progress. Here's ABC's Alex Preshay.
Tonight, the country's first major gun safety law in nearly 30 years.
God willing, it's going to save a lot of lives.
President Biden signing the Safer Communities Act just before his trip to Europe, the culmination of bipartisan negotiations in Congress moved by the deadly mass shootings in Buffalo and Texas.
Their message to us was do something. I don't know how many times we heard that. Just do something. For God's sake, just do something. Well, today, we did.
Biden's praised the legislation despite it not including everything he's called for. The more than $13 billion package enhances background checks for gun buyers under 21. It expands the category of domestic violence abusers banned from buying a gun. It gives incentives for states to pass red flag laws and gives funds for intervention, school security, and mental health services. The act does not include a ban on assault weapons, nor does it raise the age limit on buying them from 18 to 21. The law was dependent on bipartisan support. Senators involved in negotiations called it a goal, not a guarantee. In the end, it had enough Republican votes in both the House and Senate. Applause broke out Friday as Speaker Nancy Pelosi called the vote. And today, hours after the gun reform law was signed, the last of the Uvalde victims was laid to rest, 10-year-old Usia Garcia. Remembered for his contagious laugh, shaggy hair, and silly jokes.
That community is still devastated by this tragedy. Alex Brochet joining us now. Alex, that vote coming on the heels of a major gun rights ruling by the Supreme Court, striking down a New York state law that required anyone seeking to conceal carry a handgun show proper cause. We know New York and seven other states have these requirements. How are they responding tonight?
Well, Whit, many of these states are now rushing to revise their rules and their laws. New Jersey's governor has signed an executive order to see which areas can be designated as gun-free sensitive places, including hospitals, courthouses, and public transit. And then New York's governor has called for a special legislative session to limit where concealed carry is allowed. And Whit, that session will take place next week.
Okay, Alex, thank you. We turn now to Norway, where officials have raised the terror alert level after a deadly attack overnight in Oslo. Ahead of Pride celebrations there, a gunman opening fire in an area popular in the LGBTQ plus community, killing two people and wounding more than 20 in what police are calling a terror attack. Crowds marched through the streets in protest. Organizers decided at the last minute to cancel the city's annual Pride parade that had been planned for today. Now to the war in Ukraine. Powerful rocket systems from the U.S. have arrived on the battlefield and are being used against Russian targets. Ukrainian troops, who've been outgunned for months now, have been struggling to stave off Russian advances in the east. These high-precision weapons are expected to make a difference. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge reports from Kyiv.
Tonight, the first images of U.S.-provided longer-range rocket systems now being used to strike Russian positions. The Ukrainian military releasing this video, the precision launchers capable of hitting targets more than 40 miles away. 4 already supplied to Ukraine. The U.S. this week promising 4 more. President Zelensky saying these weapons are more important than ever as Russian forces seize more territory in the eastern Donbass. Ukrainian troops retreating from Severodonetsk. Ukrainian officials saying the Russians are now in full control of the city. Ukraine's intelligence chief saying they're moving to defensive positions on higher ground. Civilians still desperately trying to get out. We met Slata, who fled Severodonetsk, now in western Ukraine.
This whole area looked like this. They've now created these very basic houses because around 12 million people have been forced from their homes across Ukraine.
That is your bed.
Slata's dad away fighting for their country. Mum Ludmila saying everything is uncertain for them now, but they had to get out. Children were dying.
Today, Putin promised to supply Belarus with nuclear-capable missiles. It comes as Western officials claim Russia could be running out of certain types of ammunition. Whit?
Tom, thanks. And as Ukraine faces these fierce battles, President Biden is traveling overseas, just touching down in Germany to meet with G7 leaders. Ukraine, of course, high on the agenda there. ABC's Mary Alice Parks joins us now from Austria. And Mary Alice, the leaders are also discussing the growing impact of inflation.
Yeah, most of these leaders gathered here are facing these tough economic challenges back home that the war in Ukraine has contributed to, like rising inflation and spikes in gas prices. Those issues definitely top of the agenda for the meeting here. We do expect these G7 leaders to make some kind of announcement aimed at trying to bring down the cost of food globally. And the other big question for these G7 leaders, how long can they support Ukraine at this pace? The U.S. has committed to spend billions. Just last week, the Pentagon announced another $450 million that will go out the door to Ukraine in security assistance. That brings the total to $6 billion from the U.S. to Ukraine in security assistance since February.
Whit. All right, Mary Alice, thank you. Now to some new and disturbing revelations in the Brian Laundrie, Gabby Petito case. Several pages from Laundrie's notebook found near his body in Florida have been made public by his family attorney. Details now from ABC's Rena Roy.
It was a case that gripped the nation, and tonight, for the first time, we're hearing from Brian Laundrie in his own words after investigators say he murdered his girlfriend, Gabby Petito, during a cross-country road trip last summer. The FBI says Brian admitted to killing Gabby in this 8-page handwritten letter released by the Laundrie family attorney. But Brian claiming it was a mercy killing, that Gabby had fallen and was in pain, writing in part, "I ended her life. I thought it was merciful that it is what she wanted, but I see now all the mistakes I made. I panicked. I was in shock." Federal authorities say Brian strangled Gabby to death in Wyoming and returned home to Florida alone, sparking a nationwide search. Her remains later found near Grand Teton National Park. Brian and his family declined to speak with law enforcement or Gabby's parents. Brian then disappeared himself. Authorities say they found his body in a swamp near his family's home next to a notebook with that written confession, saying he died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Gabby's family has filed a civil lawsuit against Brian's parents, accusing them of intentional infliction of emotional distress. The Laundrie's attorney has called the case baseless and is seeking to dismiss it. A judge will decide whether the Laundrie's will face a jury within the next few weeks. Whit?
Rena Roy. Our thanks to you tonight. And there's much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. Chicago mourns one of the youngest victims of gun violence. And new details in a deadly alligator attack in South Carolina.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, we're learning more about a deadly alligator attack in South Carolina. Officials there say a gator dragged a person into a retention pond at the Myrtle Beach Golf and Yacht Club yesterday afternoon. That person was killed. The alligator, estimated to be 11 feet long, was ordered euthanized at the scene. More incidents of deadly gun violence in the last 24 hours. A gunman shot three people, killing one, at a warehouse in Bolingbrook, Illinois this morning. Police arrested a suspect not far from the scene. No word on a motive there. And in Chicago, a five-month-old girl was shot and killed in the backseat of a car last night. The shots were fired from a passing vehicle. No arrests have been made in that case. to the index now, and growing concern about the crush of travelers expected over the 4th of July weekend. The industry has been struggling with delays and cancellations and pent-up demand. The TSA says its officers screened more than 2.4 million people at U.S. airports yesterday. That's the most since February of 2020, just before the COVID shutdowns began. And a bit of baseball history today. Three Houston Astros pitchers combined for a no-hitter. Christian Javier, Hector Neris, and Ryan Pressly shut out the Yankees in New York 3-0. It was the third no-hitter in the big leagues this year and just the first in the current Yankee Stadium. Finally tonight, America strong as the country celebrates Pride, the special dedication where a movement was born. Just
rapid. Across the country today, the culmination of Pride Month. Events celebrating the LGBTQ plus community. A movement that began in 1969 at New York's Stonewall Inn, where patrons fought back against a police raid, a time when living openly was often against the rules.
The Stonewall Inn is the original safe space. It's a living, breathing piece of history.
In New York City in the 60s, it was illegal to serve alcohol to a homosexual. It was illegal to dance together. It was illegal to, if you didn't wear three pieces of clothing, articles of clothing that matched your gender. So it was tough back then.
But in 2016, the Stonewall National Monument became the first of its kind dedicated to LGBTQ plus history. And then yesterday, officials in New York City broke ground for the Stonewall National Monument Visitor Center.
It's important that we have the Stonewall in us as part of our long and powerful history, but to have a visitor center in a place for me that, you know, we could feel grounded. My history is important to know where I come from, to know the people that have fought for me to breathe and be here, to have agency over my life.
Pride of the past and present, honoring a more than 50-year movement for equality.
Thanks so much for watching tonight. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. I'll see you on GMA in the morning. Lindsay Davis will be right back here tomorrow night. Have a great night.